Well, praise you, Jesus. Isn't God good? Amen, 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 amen. Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out tonight and go to the book of Galatians. I want to share a message with you. With you that I'm not going to get to preach on Sunday morning because I've been so long and I'm finishing up Sunday morning, so you're going to get a Sunday morning message on the Holy Ghost tonight. But I want you to turn in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. We're going to start, and I'm going to talk to you something about the Holy Ghost tonight. Are we recording tonight? Okay, well, the title of this message is called Feasting with Demons. How's that sound? But I'm preaching on the Holy Ghost. I think when I get down to this message, we'll all see that we've sat around before and feasted with demons. It says here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16... Let me just pray before we get into it. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I just thank you that you're going to minister this word to our hearts tonight, and that as we go over these verses and see what you were saying to the church there in the Galatians, Lord God, that you're just going to again speak to our heart fresh and anew today and show us, Lord God, all about feasting with you and feasting with the Spirit and, Lord, how we're supposed to be living. And, Lord, I thank you for it and I praise you for it. And I ask you tonight, just, Lord, just to... let the words be not my words, but your words of power, words of faith, words of much assurance. Just run swiftly into our hearts tonight, Lord, and blesses us in Jesus' name. It says in verse 16, I say to you, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You know, Paul made it real simple here. He says, so to the Galatians, he said, look, if you live a life that you walk in the Spirit, you're not ever going to have to worry about anything else, because in walking in the life of the Spirit and walking by the Spirit, then you don't have any place for the flesh. Isn't that sound crazy? Seems like I can pretty much always find a place for some flesh in this world. I can get up in the morning and be prayed up, feel good, go to town, and something can happen, and I immediately could think about jumping into the flesh. Y'all with me? I mean, that's kind of this life we live in this world we live in, the things that go on and the craziness. And it just seems to me, even the Bible says that in the latter days and the times get closer, there's going to be more of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils that are going to come in and try to trick us and to trip us and to stumble us, right? Well, he says if you walk in the Spirit, so the goal of really having a life, living a life in the Holy Spirit is not maybe what we have generally thought. Living a life in the Spirit is living your life in such a way, okay, that by walking in the Spirit, you may have a temptation for the flesh, but you're wise enough to catch it early enough and you just pass it on and go on. You follow what I'm saying? Because you'd have to be dead not to ever be tempted. Even Jesus was tempted. The devil came up and tempted him. He says, get away from me. Right? I mean, Satan himself came to tempt Jesus. And Jesus, so if Jesus is going to be tempted by the devil himself, you and I probably aren't dealing with the prince of the palatine himself, but we got devils that are trying to take us to dinner. Have y'all seen that? There's a commercial, or what is it? It's a bug commercial. Maybe it's termite. Is it termite or Orkin or what is it? Is it Orkin? Where they open up the door and there's this big old cockroach or whatever it is standing there, you know, and he's trying to be all suave and smoking a cigarette or whatever. Have y'all seen that? Every time when that commercial first came on, I saw it. I says, man, that's just like the devil standing right at the door saying, hey, how are you doing? Everything okay today? And it's a cockroach, right? And I see that commercial, I just laugh. I said, man, that is exactly right. He just wants to come in, right? just tries to convince you that he needs to come in and sit down and eat dinner with you, right? Okay. He says, but there's a life and a life called walking in the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit, then you're walking in the Spirit. He says, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. So no matter what you're doing in this life, there's a war going on in your body, in your life. The flesh lusting or warring against the Spirit, right? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 10, he says, man, for the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. Okay? It's not flesh and blood. He said, but they're mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds, for the casting down imaginations and everything that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of the Word of God. The battle and the struggle is to get you to quit believing that the Word of God's true. Hello? Right? Is to get you to quit believing the Word of God's true. So he says, there's always a battle going to be going on. The battle between the flesh and the Spirit. Now, let's read on. Let's just read on. But if you're... Okay, hold on. I'm going to go back and read 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that they do not do the things that you wish. So that means you could be wishing to do the right thing and get sidetracked. You got to be not wishing, but walking in the Spirit. Wishing in the Spirit ain't gonna get it done. Like a hoping and a praying. Right? I'm a hoping and a praying everything's gonna be okay. Well, that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says we take hope, it's an anchor to our soul, then we mix it and comes and turns into faith, and then faith produces a promise. Amen. Well, so wishing ain't gonna get you there. Walking in the Spirit's gonna get you there. So that means you could actually sit down, read your Bible, think about what you should do. But don't walk in what you're supposed to be doing and get sidetracked and get over into the flesh. Right? So this is a kind of a tricky thing. It's not so simple to say, I'm just going to get up in the morning, read the Bible, pray a prayer, and then I'm just going to go out all day and I'm just going to walk in the Spirit all day. Do you realize all the tricks that the devil has got since the beginning of time that he works on people? So immediately, you say, well, I want to read my Bible today. I want to walk in the Spirit. I'm not going to get over into the flesh. I'm not going to do it. So you do pretty good that day. And then you know what's going to be knocking at the door tomorrow? Pride. So then you walk in pride for a little bit because you feel really good because you've been doing all this. And now now religion's going to set in you. And you're going to set it up as a doctrine of this is how you do it all the time so that you don't get in the flesh. Right? Are y'all with me? See, it's not all in the backyard with a knife cutting up black cats and a big cauldron of a witch's brew. Y'all with me? It's these little things the devil will come up to you all the time, speaking and whispering in your ear, trying to get you sidetracked, get you up over here. It's a tightrope walk. But didn't Jesus tell us that? He said the path's going to be a narrow path. It's not going to be a wide path. It's going to be a narrow path that we've got to walk. He says it's a wide road that leads to destruction. Hello? So it's the narrow path. Now, let's read on here. He goes on down and he says, now the works of the flesh are evident. Now, so I guess Paul felt like to the church he needed to point out what flesh was. Now, let me just say something about the word flesh. Paul actually started a word that he kind of started using when he started using carnality. And carnality actually means carnal from meat. And when he's talking about flesh, into the Jewish mind, if you said something about flesh in church, you were thinking about the sacrifice. All right? You know, if you go back and you read the book of Leviticus and Exodus and you go through all the things that God said, there's some really odd church things. How's that about that? Like when they made the sacrifices, and some of the sacrifices would be boiled sacrifices, and the priest would take a meat hook and he'd run it through there, and whatever the hook caught and he pulled out, that was his supper. It just don't seem right. I mean, we have church that's like this. It just doesn't seem right to me to have sheep and cattle and doves, and there's cutting and blatant and blood and stink and, right? Gutting, just gutting an old sheep over there and pulling out the entrails, and this had to go in this spot and that had to go over there, and a fire's burning. It's got to have been hot, and throwing raw meat just up on a big old fire smoking. And that's why they had incense everywhere. Somebody going around with the incense guys all the time. You tried to hang by them, you know. Right? I mean, it's a different concept than we think about church. So Paul's taking the church at Galatia, and he's trying to tell them, because they're a New Testament church, they're like us. They're not going through the sacrifice anymore. So he's trying to get this into their mind, into their thinking. He says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness. Now, I don't think uncleanliness there means not taking a bath. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred. Isn't it interesting? Just look at the way what he puts down here, the way he writes this. Hatred gets stuck in with idolatry and sorcery. And then comes contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath. Selfish ambitions. Now, see, look at all these. I mean, this is a wide gamut of stuff here. Dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I have told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, he said, look, if this is what you're practicing, then you're walking so much in the flesh, you're going to miss the kingdom of God. That's pretty tough. Ain't no cheap grace there, is it? Not no cheap grace there saying, oh, well, you know, God still loves me. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? So then he goes on and he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Okay? So think about this. He says, you can go sit down and eat supper with the devils. Right? And when you do, this is the kind of stuff you'll discuss. Or you can come in and you can eat the fruit of the Spirit. So fruit, think about it. He didn't say the tree of the Spirit. He said the fruit of the Spirit. So fruit's produced by the stem or the tree that's within your life that's producing the fruit, right? It's the produce. It's what's come from it. So then he's saying if you're walking in the Spirit and you keep walking in the Spirit, fruit's going to start to be produced in your life. Right? You know, back on my coffee bean story, you know, I was talking about coffee last week, I think it was. And one of the things I did not know about a coffee plant is that all the beans on a coffee plant don't get ripe at the same time. And so a coffee, they're like little nodules that grow up the limbs of these coffee plants. And there's, I don't know, maybe four, five, six little nodules that are on these limbs. And all those little blossoms or beans don't get ripe all at the same time, and that on the same bush there can be a blossom over here and a red bean over here that's ready to be picked. And I didn't know that. I was thinking it was like corn or wheat, you know, that at a certain time it came to maturity, and then but as I looked at the coffee plant, it was like the Spirit of God was saying to me, you know, that's kind of the way we are as Christians. We don't have it right in every area of our life. And over here we're just kind of getting started in conquering this area of our life, so we just got a little bloom there that's just going to start to make the bud of a coffee bean. And over here, you've been walking in this area in your life for a long time, and so you got a red coffee bean that's getting ready to be produced, right? And it's fruit. That's fruit of the coffee plant. It's the coffee beans. Fruit of walking in the Spirit is going to be manifest in your life by love, joy. I remember joy. One time Pastor Randy preached a message on joy. Preached this message on joy. Man, it was just like the greatest message I'd ever heard on a Wednesday night. It was I can't even tell you what the message was, but it was just about joy and having the joy of the Lord and the joy of our salvation. And man, I went home and I was so happy and so excited because it's just like, you know, I started thinking about where I would have been if I wouldn't got saved and all these different things. Just started meditating on all this stuff and I just got so full of joy. Then the next day I just went to work and it's literally the devil just boxed my ears completely off. And by that evening, I came to town just dragging my tail, you know, just beat up, wore out, just stomped on, kicked on. I had been not the head, but I had been the tail all day long, you know. I hadn't been on top, I'd been underneath, you know. Just felt like riding a horse with a saddle underneath all day. And I never forget, it was right out there at the corner of the building. I came in here to do something, he saw me, he said, "Hey, how you doing?" I said, "Man, should have never listened to that message about joy last night." I said, "I had more joy when I went to church last night, and then I got super joy, and now I just beat down, I ain't got nothing." And we began to laugh and talk about how that's the way it is. The devil comes immediately to steal the word, right? He didn't give you any time. But what's so cool about this is fruit's going to be produced in your life as you just walk in the Spirit. Fruit's going to be produced. You're not producing the fruit. Fruit is just produced. So, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. Now those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited and provoke one another and envy one another. So he's just, this what's hit me about this message is how many times, just like that bug at the door, the devil just wants to come into our lives and sit down with us and have supper. And he may even put a pretty good case out. Right? But Paul's saying, watch out, because if you're going to eat with the devils, if you're going to have supper with demons, you miss out on everything in the kingdom of God. You miss out on the kingdom of God. Hello? But if we choose to walk by the Spirit or choose to walk in the Spirit, now does that mean you just walk around all the time praying in tongues? Well, that wouldn't work. That'd just get you in the nut house or something, you know? I mean, you can't. I mean, the Apostle Paul said, "Man, I pray in tongues more than you all." But he said, when I'm out in public, I want to talk to people in English and encourage them and strengthen them in the Lord. It's a mindset, church. It's something that you have to do, that the passion on the inside of you says, "No, you know, I want to today walk in the power of the Spirit. I want to walk by the Holy Ghost. I want to eat and feast with the Holy Ghost. I want to be so in tune, Lord, that when I go to stumble and I go to make a mistake and I go to, Lord, quicken me, catch me, show me, stir me." Listen, folks, if you get hung up on that, you're tempted to do it, you're going to spend all your time looking back at the problem. It's looking at the Spirit and looking at the things of God and saying, "No, Lord, this is, I thank you, you showed me, I'm off. Now I repent. Now set me on the right path, Lord, because that's what I want to do." It's amazing how quick repentance gets us back on track with the Holy Ghost. How quick repentance gets us right back online and starts producing, getting fruit producing again. Right? And then as the fruit begins to produce, well, then there's going to be love, joy, peace, patience. I've learned, and my desire in life is to live a consistent life. I don't want to be here one day and hear the next. I want to be consistent. Now, if I'm, you know, I'm trying to work it to where I'm better than consistently grumpy. Hello? Right? You don't want to be consistently negative. Right? You don't want to say, well, I'm not going to believe for too much, because then if nothing happens, then I don't have to get disappointed. No. That's not the life we live. But it's a life of living and putting one foot in front of the other. And if I mess up 20 times, I want to repent 20 times. And consistently keep walking. Consistently keep moving forward. Keep consistently going up. Now, the last thing I want to put in your head is simply this. The walk of the Spirit is, it's an uphill or an upstream swim or walk. Y'all with me? You're swimming against the current. Okay? But then that's why I said you're more than a conqueror. And you're an overcomer in Christ Jesus in all things. You're swimming against the current. Ain't nothing easy about it. And if you find a pool of still water you can go in for a while and restore your soul and refresh with Jesus, be careful, because if you stay there too long, it's going to become a stagnant pond. You got to keep moving on upstream. Right? The thing is just keep moving upstream. That's the goal. Letting that fruit be produced in your life. And if you're producing some peace, but you ain't got much joy and love being produced right now, well, that's okay. It can all be on the same plant and coming along at different stages. It all doesn't have to be the same at all times. Maybe you got self-control really down. Right? Or maybe you've got something else there. Maybe you got gentleness down. That's one of my beans that's probably not too ripe. Patience is a blossom. Right? But I don't care. Listen, I don't care that my whole plant's ripe. It isn't going to get ripe. They pick coffee beans from October to May. So the guys go out in the field all the time. I don't know if they go every day. I didn't ask every day or once a week. Or I don't know how often the pickers go through. But it's not one day of harvest. It's a continual harvest. Amen? So what? So what if they go out to harvest my field and only got one that day? I may have 10 tomorrow. Hello? Amen? So let's make that our goal. Let's make that our goal to strive to walk in the Spirit. Let's don't feast with demons. Amen? And let's produce some fruit. Amen? Look at the person beside you and say, "Is that looks like some fruit hanging down off your earlobe right there.